And I'll show you this. Let's see here. Let me get this out of the way. All right. Okay. And here we go. Hold on. I'm going to show you something. And then we're going to have a... Oh, I forgot to put the... Have we got the sound in it? Forgot the sound. Hold on. You know, when you get in here and you get moving around, it's cool to wear more than one hat, but the only problem is you ain't got but one head. Okay, Don, I got this video turned on, so you need to cut sound up if you can. Okay, ready? Let's see here. Let me see if I can get this thing going here. I'm on sound. I know that's not a whole lot of help, but that's where I'm at. If you don't have it, I'll just give me the microphone and I'll put it down here. And all these are corded mics, so that's not... Oh, I got my earpiece. That's right. Yeah. Okay, Don, I'm going to try it. If y'all don't hear it, let me know. No, it's not making any noise. Amen. Praise God. Hold on. Hold on. Technical difficulty. I come in, I was so busy trying to get ready for serve, praise, and worship that I didn't test it. Hold on.
We're gonna whip this puppy. Whip bigger puppies than this. Daniel said when that guy was riding my back going down from the parachute shed, I was up so high you can't even see him. He come out of the place, so I was coming out pretty fast. And said I looked like a chihuahua riding a Rottweiler. But it was definitely, if you've never done it, try it because it's awesome. Okay, get ready. Here we go. We'll try it again.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is my honor to introduce a man who needs no introduction. His credits are too long to list. He has done the impossible time at the time. He has out of a manger in Bethlehem, Jerusalem, by way of heaven. His mother is still headlining in the Catholic Church today. His daddy is the author of a book that has been on the bestseller list since the beginning of time. He holds the record for the world's greatest fish fry. He fed 5,000 hungry souls with 2 fish, 5 loaves of bread. He can walk on water, turn water into wine. No special effects, no camera tricks. He has a headshot on every church fan across the country. Even before the kings of comedy, he was hailed the king of all kings, ruler of the universe, Alpha and Omega, beginning and the end, the bright and the morning star. Some say he's the Rose of Sharon, and some say he's the Prince of Peace. Get up on your feet. Put your hands together and show your love for the second coming of the one and only.
Everybody, let's stand. Let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Let's just thank Him. Just thank Him. You can thank Him in your own way, but just thank Him. It's an awesome thought to think about Jesus Christ coming to earth. And just so He could say, I know how you feel, He got down as low as it could be. He got in a lowly manger. He was wrapped up in the rags that were used to wipe the milk from the cows. Praise God. He wrapped up that way. God said, I'm going to let every man know on this earth that I want to know how they feel. Amen. So no matter what you're going through today, that manger represents, I know what you are going through. Father, we love you. We thank you and we praise your name for all that you do for us. In the name of Jesus, Lord, bless this service, Lord, the remainder of it. Bless us, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And the church said, amen. Amen. Y'all remain seated. Or just go ahead and see the, be seated. Praise God. Sit down. Okay, God's awesome. Let me tell you this. I was having to read about this guy. A guy was ducking into a confession booth with a turkey in his arms. This guy said, "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I stole this turkey." Children, y'all can go to children's church. That's what y'all were trying to tell me, right? And if you're new here and you want to be included on the, we have a little list up here and a place where you can actually give Christmas cards to all the people in the church and not cost you a dime as far as postage. We have a little box up there and everybody's name. If you want to be included on this box and you want to give Christmas cards to everybody else, then all you got to do is let Jeannie know, and she will put you up there. Some of you, we already know, we've got you up there, but if you're not up there, you can ask Jeannie, am I up there? And if I'm not up there, then say, Jeannie, can you please put me up there? And that way, what you do is you can get that list, and you can give a Christmas card to everybody in the church. It won't cost you a dime for postage. And it's an awesome thing, and we do it every year, and the Lord is blessed every time. So don't forget. Don't do it at this moment, but you can do it. Now, I've done for God again to go down here and do this. It's amazing how so much stuff gets, how much stuff is involved in a service. I mean, we don't even know it. Amen. There's a lot of stuff that's always going through every service. So let me go through this, though. There's a guy, named Brian. He dug into a confession booth with a turkey in his arms, and he says, "Forgive me, Father, for I've sinned. I stole this turkey to feed my family. Would you take it and settle my guilt?" "Certainly not," said the priest. "As penance, you must return it to the one from whom you stole it." "I tried," Brian sobbed, "but he refused." "Oh, Father, what should I do?" He said, "If what you say is true, then it is all right for you to keep it for your family." "Thank you, priest." And Brian hurried off. When the confession was over, the priest returned to his residence. When he walked in the kitchen, he found that someone had stolen his turkey. That's a thing. You got to think about that one. that's a thinker, okay? Now this whole, every Sunday, matter of fact, every day, not just every day, but every hour should be in our lives. We should be, at one point or another, be thinking of, talking to, thanking our Savior. Every time. Like that yesterday when I jumped out of that plane, I weren't afraid. I said, "Lord, here's what I said." You know what I said to myself before I got ready to jump out of the plane? The guy told me, he said, "I want you to scoot out." So I started scooting out. He was hooked on my back, and he said, "I want you to scoot out on this little plank." And he said, so when I put my leg out the window, we were going like 170. So I put my leg out the window, we're 11,000 feet, and my leg's getting pushed up against the side of the plane. He said, "Put your feet on air and just keep scooting out and hold your arms like this. Don't grab anything." And so I'm scooting out. And while I'm scooting out, he doesn't tell me anything. Next thing I know, the plane turns, and I'm twirling in the air. The most freeing feeling in the entire world, because I felt no weight. But then the instructor had to tell me, and by the way, you're free falling. Yeah, really? So we're going down. But before I got ready to go out of the plane, you know what I said? I said, "I love you, Lord." I said, "I thank you for this opportunity to try something like I've always wanted to do." And then I said, before I went out, here's what I said. I said, "For me to live is Christ. To die is gain." That's what I said when I went out the plane. Here's what I told my wife. It was really funny. And I told my boys, I said, "I've already got Sunday morning sermon just about wrapped up. So if something happens to me, you got that." I said, "I got a lot more college homework to do, but who wants to sweat that if I'm not going to be here?" So I'll sweat the homework tonight, but I'm going to have the sermon ready for today. And the first thing I hollered, out was just glory. I hollered glory all the way down. It was just so, so awesome. Okay. But again, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. The last thing I said before I was tumbling in the sky. So again, God wants us to be the first thing on his mind. And the first thing on his lips, on our lips, and the first thing, last thing on our mind, and the last thing on our lips. And if you can do that, it's amazing what will happen in your life. And so I was thinking about that, we're talking about the birth of Jesus Christ. And remember, Christmas means Christ Mass, which means literally to celebrate the manger to celebrate Jesus Christ, the anointed one. But you cannot celebrate the anointed one manger without also celebrating the cross. And so we got it together. Praise God. So it's the manger celebrating the birth of Christ, but we're also celebrating the death of Christ. Because one, both of them together is a two-edged sword that Satan cannot, has tried for years, years, years to stop. When it happened, he tried to stop it then. He couldn't. And now he tries to keep us from looking at it. Amen? So it's important that we keep up with what's going on. So today, I want to do something a little bit different. You can get your Bibles out and turn to Revelation, but Revelation chapter 1. But I've already got it up here for you, so you can read it right up here. Or you can get your Bible out, either one. I'm just going to read it from right up here. But Jesus, John is on the Isle of Patmos. The Bible says, not the Bible, but history tells us, that John was on the Isle of Patmos. There were some guys that were just so ruthless and so tough, they would put him on the Isle of Patmos. The Isle of Patmos was a little bitty small island, just a couple miles in circumference. And this island had rocks around the side of it, and it had terrible sharks and other things around it. So if a man was ever put there, if he tried to escape, nobody ever escaped, because if they got off the island, they were eaten alive. And so here he is, and he's here with some of the ruthless, most terrible criminals there is. They're so terrible that they don't even want them in society. They don't even want them around anybody. And so they have him on the Isle of Patmos. So here's John on the Isle of Patmos. And while he's on the Isle of Patmos, according to tradition, they tried first to burn him in oil because he wouldn't quit talking about Jesus. So they put him in oil, burning oil, and he would not burn. So then other tradition tells us that they even gouged his eyes out. Now, when you think about this thing, here's John on the Isle of Patmos in this terrible place where you have to scrounge for anything you get. He's up here, and according to tradition, he was blind. And so here he is, and it's easy to forget. Day by day, there's how many times last week did you say, "Lord, do you really see me?" Don't raise your hand. How many last week said, "Lord, do you really see me? Lord, do you really know what I'm going through? Lord, do you really see? Do you understand what I'm going through?" Well, here's what was happening then. Is John, he's up here. He's possibly been burning oil, and he's had his eyes possibly gouged out. He's sitting here on this island having to fend for himself. He cannot even see. And what happens? It's amazing. I mean, I wasn't going to read all of this, but I think I am now after seeing this. I mean, after reading this. The Bible says the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by the angel to his servant John. Now here's John. He's on the island. He's all alone. If anybody's coming to help him, more than likely they're coming to hurt him. The guys are trying to take care of themselves. So I'm pretty sure John was not a popular person at that time to be put on the Isle of Patmos. So when he could not see, he could still see Jesus. When he did not see a way off this island, he could still see Jesus. When he did not understand why he was going through what he was going through, he could still see Jesus, because Jesus came to him. He said, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace, for unto him which is, and which was, and which is to come. And from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and have made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with the clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty." Can you imagine? Now, John, here's John, he's on this island, and even if he's 90 years old, so even if he can see, he's still having a hard time seeing. So look at this. Here's Jesus, he appears unto him, and here's how he appears unto him. It's something very, very special. Everybody stand. We're going to read God's word. It'll be up here. So you can read it right up here. You can read it right in your Bible. Either one. Either one will be fine. So here it is. So he hears this. And the Bible says as he hears this, here's what he sees. And he says, "Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me. And having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to his feet, and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if it were refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death and hell in my hand." Father, we love you, Lord. We praise your name. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, I ask you right now, Lord, to touch us, Lord, to help us see, help us know, help us understand that we're never alone in any of our trials. And Lord, Christmas, we think about that little helpless baby in a manger. But you know what? If we can think about not only celebrating his birth, but also celebrating his death and his resurrection, wow, then we realize how powerful that manger is. It's there to represent God seeking to understand man in a way that he never understood him. Because he never experienced pain. He never experienced poverty. He never experienced problems. And now he will, because of his precious son being sent to earth. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we love you. We praise your name. And the church said, amen, amen, amen. You can be seated. God's awesome. All the time. Now tonight we're having at 6:30, we're having our church Christmas party over across the street. So I want you to come, and if you haven't already talked to Sister Hazel, and if you wanted to bring something, if you did, then talk to Sister Hazel. She can tell you what they might need. And at the same time, please be here. I know that Sunday night has really kind of gotten to where no church is having anything at all. This is our Christmas party once a year. And come on and enjoy the Christmas party. Say, "Well, I don't belong to the church." You don't have to belong to the church. This is not a members-only club. Amen? This is not a members-only club. Matter of fact, you watch me. I don't even push membership. You know why? Because it seems like once somebody becomes a member, then I kind of say, "Where'd they go?" Yeah, so I don't push membership. What I do push is Jesus. Amen? So now here we just read about Jesus. I want you to think about something now. Every book, or look, here it is. Here's all the names of Jesus. Man, there's so many names of Jesus throughout the entirety of God's Word. If you look, you'll see, "I'm the first and the last. I'm the beginning and the end. I'm the way, the truth, the life. I'm the Lamb of God. I'm the Deliverer. I am the seed of woman," from Genesis 3:15. If you look in Genesis 1:1, it's in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we've been talking about this on Tuesday nights. That word God there is Elohim. El is one. Elohim is plural. And so in the beginning, it is not the gods created the heaven and the earth. That's not what it said. It said Elohim, which means the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the Trinity. The Holy Trinity is in the very first verse of the Bible. And you see here that here he is now, and he's talking to John on the Isle of Patmos. So if you take now you know what? I'm going to try to get through this pretty quick. Try to. Every book in the Old Testament points to him. And every book in the New Testament reveals him. I tell people all the time, the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed, and the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. So you cannot look. As a matter of fact, here's why I like to think about it. It is impossible. Anywhere you cut any of the 66 books of the Bible, they bleed red. Anywhere you cut that Bible, you look, you'll see Jesus Christ in every book of that Bible. How do you see him? You might not see Jesus per se. Look at that. Isn't that cool? The lion and the lamb. Amen. You switch it back the other way, and that was a how I looked yesterday parachuting. I was the lion, and that poor guy was the lamb. And when he takes DC today, I can't even imagine what it's going to look like. Praise God. So, here's how he's talked about in the Bible, how you see him. In all the types and figures, they speak of him. They are very significant, and are beautiful to consider, because God uses a poetry, so to speak, words and types and pictures of Jesus and how he is to come. But we see him here as the lion. We see him as the lamb. We see him as the fountain. We see him as the rock. He's described as wonderful counselor, mighty God, the living bread, living water. He's the altogether lovely one. Any way you look, God is so awesome. And of the many descriptions of Jesus, of all that they talk about, and you look to the Bible, and I'm telling you, every book of the Bible, if it isn't for the story that's being told, or the type, or the foreshadow that's coming, you will see, like I said, Jesus Christ and what he's going to do in every book of the Bible. But of all the descriptions, none are more concise or even impact us as the one that John saw on the Isle of Patmos. And this is awesome because remember, here's a man that's being put on the Isle of Patmos supposedly for life. He's put there and he's been burnt and now his eyes have been gouged out and Jesus still comes to him and Jesus still talks to him. So when he turns around and he sees what's going on and when he sees Jesus, it's some amazing stuff because he gave 10 distinct descriptions that speak of his deity, of his dignity, and his distinction. He talks about the Lord's prominence, his purpose, and his power right there in this one description. Jesus is so good at this. God is so good at this. A lot of times, you may be having a hard time, and all of a sudden, have you ever had a hard time and you had a dream? Or you had a hard time and all of a sudden somebody just came up and reminded you of somebody. Or somebody came up and gave you something that somebody else normally used to give you that's already gone on to be with the Lord. And you wonder why this happened and God's just letting this happen because he knows you need this. He knows you need this reassurance. He knows you need this touch. And so anytime I've gone up to somebody and I say something to them and say, you know, my mama used to tell me that. Or, you know, my little kids used to do that or something and not realizing, and I'm not even realizing when I do it, that God is actually bringing comfort to the person. I had somebody not long ago said all they can do is cry. They don't go here to know, y'all wouldn't know them if they walked in the door, but they said, all I can do is cry. And they said, why am I crying? And again, this person been going through some rough things. And I said, well, it could be the rough things you're going through, but if I had to put my finger on it, because you're feeling comfort right now, I would think that is the power of the comforting presence of God. Because when God comes upon you, you're not going to be the same. You don't even, listen, everybody, anybody I've ever seen, when the power, especially the comforting power of God comes upon them, I don't see them act like nothing's happening. I see them respond in many different kinds of ways. So here, I want you to look at what John wrote about Jesus. And I'll try to be fast. And if we don't finish it today, we'll finish it tonight. I'm playing. We're having a Christmas party tonight, amen? Okay, so here we go. First he says, I love this, talks about the resurrected Christ. He says, he's describing him. There was one like unto the Son of Man. He knew Jesus. He had heard Jesus. He had been with Jesus for 3.5 years. He was one of Jesus' main men. He laid on his breast at the Last Supper. He was sitting beside him. He put his head right here. He knew Jesus. He also saw Jesus die on the cross, but he saw Jesus resurrected, and he saw Jesus walk this earth for 40 days. But guess what? It's so awesome is now he sees him in his human form, yet he is glorified. Can you imagine if any of us were happen to see this picture right now, if Jesus would just appear to us right now in the same way he just appeared to John, you know what would happen in this house? There would be revival, and it'd have to have, not only revival, we'd have to call Paul's funeral home because some of you just die. Not because he went zzz. It's just you couldn't handle it. Can you imagine what it'd be like to see Jesus in all his glory? Every time the angels come, look in the Bible, every time the angels come and talk to people, the first thing they say is, be not afraid. Because when you see this glory, you just kind of go in awe and you don't know what to say. It was like yesterday when that guy didn't tell me we were jumping out the plane at that time. He just said, slide your feet. Next thing I know, I'm tumbling in the air at 11,000 feet. And he said, how is this? And I said, this is awesome. But right to start with, it kind of took my breath and I had to think about what was going on. Can you imagine what it would be like for Jesus to come in here and all of a sudden he appeared to us? It would take my breath. I would fall at his foot like a dead man. Wow, it'd be awesome. And so he sees this. You know, see, Jesus showed some aspects of his glory, but he didn't show it all because it had been too overpowering. When he resurrected, he didn't show all his glory. If he just showed all his glory, wow, it was already tough enough. These guys are already feeling bad enough because they had betrayed him and they had gone their own way. And he comes and they didn't even recognize him when he first came. But now John sees him and what he sees is so overpowering. John, the one who laid his head on his breast, now lays down like a dead man. Can you imagine? See, Mary recognized him in the garden, and the disciples enjoyed him in the upper room. But one day, we're going to see this image that John saw. Wow, isn't it going to be awesome? Oh, come on now, isn't it going to be awesome? Yes. So first, he's the resurrected Christ. Then it says he was clothed with a garment down to his feet. This description indicates the garments of a king. It also indicates the garments of a judge. He has already come as the Savior. Oh, he came as a lamb, but he's coming back as a lion. Woo! Amen? I mean, it's one thing to have the lamb here. And you know how he was as the lamb, some of the stuff he done. Can you imagine what he's going to do when he comes as the lion? The Bible says he's going to rule with an iron fist. He's going to take care of business. Sin's going to be nailed to the floor, gone away with. It's going to be an awesome thing. You know, we come to some of our services a while ago, and those youngins were singing. It was feeling so good in here. I was just having a ball. I was just so excited. Matter of fact, I started playing behind DC right here today because the tree was right here. And Daniel said, "Daddy, if you don't move, DC is going to get hit in the back of the head with your guitar." So I moved over here. And then BJ said, "Pastor, don't hit me in the back of the head with that guitar." It just felt so good to sing about God. It felt so good to just rejoice in Him. I don't know about you, but I believe praise and worship should be praise and worship. Not praise and worship. "Pastor, if you want me to praise Him today, you're going to have to yank it out of me. I didn't bring a hook big enough to yank it out of you. It's got to be coming out of you." The Bible says, "He that believeth on me is going to have out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Praise the Lamb of God." It's time to open up the spigots in here and let God get some glory. Come on, glorify Him. Come on, you can do better than that. Glorify Him. Revelation portrays Jesus as no other book. He's not the meek and lowly lamb now. Woo! He's the reigning king. And it's going to be an awesome, awesome, awesome thing. Amen. Y'all didn't count, and that was number two. We got 10. He's the righteous Christ. The Bible says his head and his hair were white like wool, white as snow. y'all gonna like this. My wife said, "I'm getting ready to go," and I said, "Take everything out your pockets." And Linda looked at me and said, "You're not going to take your brush?" True story. I said, "I'm going to have to tell the guys, because the guys at the prison say, 'Why you brush your hair when you're going? You're trying to impress the guys?'" And then I'm sitting in the back of that airplane, and my back's up against the pilot, and my hair is sticking all up like Einstein. It's flying everywhere. And the guy who I'm getting ready to jump with says, "I wish I had a mirror." I said, "Why?" He said, "You ought to look at your head." And so I had these gloves on, so I couldn't get my gloves on. So I'm trying to get my hair down. So finally, he reached over with the camera, and he went. So I'm pretty sure, I haven't seen it yet, but I'm pretty sure that head looks wild. Amen. But can you imagine Jesus? When you see him on, we see all kinds of pictures of Jesus. I mean, I've seen a bunch of them. You see the ones that Leonardo da Vinci painted and Michelangelo and all these great guys. But it's all what people think. And there's some that have him with dark hair. Some have him with light hair. They have him white. They have him black. They have him Indian. All kinds of things. But if you want to know the truth about it, he was a Jew. So if he was a Jew, he had olive skin. And not only did he have olive skin, he more than likely had dark hair. Just look at the Jews. And you know how Jesus looked like. Okay, but anyway about it, look, the Bible never tells us what color his hair was then. But look at this, it tells us what his hair is now. Amen? I tell everybody right now, to say, "Your hair is just pure white." I said, "You know what? White is the new gray." But it speaks of his holiness. You see, a relationship with Jesus Christ will produce cleansing in your life and a purity that aligns us with and hides us. Listen, aligns us with and hides us in his righteousness. We have no righteousness. I was talking about it the other night on Tuesday night. Y'all need to come Tuesday night service, man. There's some awesome stuff going on. So Theology 101, and it's been some awesome stuff. But one thing is, the Bible says in Isaiah that our own righteousness is as filthy rags. I've told y'all this before. Some of you heard it. There's two things about those filthy rags. Now, I'll be quick and go on. The first thing about those filthy rags is, if you look it up in the Hebrew, when lepers came into the city, on the gates there were rags. And these rags were up there specifically for the lepers, because lepers would have sores, and they would have bleeding, and they would have pus, and they would have all kinds of things coming from their arms and from broken limbs and limbs that have been severed, rotted off, and or chewed off by rats. A lot of times you think their limbs just fell off. A lot of times the reason they lost their limbs is because while they were sleeping, the rats and the wild animals would eat them, would eat this stuff. And so here you go. These guys come into town. When they come into town, they had to stay away from people, but they only had to stay so far away from people and holler unclean, unclean. When they came into the city, they had to take these nasty parts of their body, and they had to take these rags, and they had to wipe theirself with these sores and this pus and this blood. They had to wipe themselves on these rags and hang the rag back up on the gate. And God says, our self-righteousness is like those rags. Wow. When I think about that, I go, Lord, I've got no righteousness, not without you. And when I see that, look, a lot of people walk around with a yardstick. If they don't measure it to what I think it says to be, then they're not holy. That takes the yardstick out of my hand. Amen? That's bad enough, but then there's the second word. When you talk about the filthy rags, and this is from the Hebrew. It's actually talking about those filthy rags. It's actually talking about back in the day when women had their menstrual cycle, they had these rags that they had to use, and they were called filthy rags. They take these rags, and when they would get through with them, they would just discard them on the side of the road. Just discard them. And so if they were traveling in a caravan, you would see them on the side of the road after they'd been used, and they would sit there, and they would get in the sun, and it would be a smell, and there would be flies all around it, and be all kinds of mess. And God says, your righteousness, all the stuff you can work up in you to be godly, is just like that. Wow. So you better be under the blood of Christ. Religion is the filthy rags. What I can do to save myself is filthy rags. But when I stand up under the blood of Jesus Christ, I stand up under him, the him with the hidden hair that were white like wool and white as snow. Now I can be holy, because the angels are not going around hollering, holy, holy, holy is David Linton. The angels are going around and throwing, holy, holy, holy is God Almighty. Amen. And so I have to get up under him. So once I'm up under him, you know what? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Isaiah 1:18 says, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Because of the righteous of Christ, not the righteousness of me. Amen. I tell people all the time, you can take my name, you can take my autograph and 50 cent and buy a drink in some places. Amen. So, not only is he the righteous Christ, but he is the revealing Christ. The Bible says that his eyes were like a flame of fire. Wow. You know, when Peter had denied Jesus three times, on the third time when the rooster crowed, he looks over and he sees Jesus in the judgment hall. And when the rooster crows at that exact time, the Bible says Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And Peter saw those eyes. And when he saw those eyes, he ran out and he wept bitterly. You see, we think about Superman and, you know, how he's got X-ray vision. Superman, he can see through walls, he can see through all this stuff. If you look up Superman and you look at the origins of Superman, Superman is a comic book version, similarity of Jesus. Comes from another planet. And the sun makes him strong. And he's sent to this planet to deliver people from their problems. And he can see through walls. He can see all this. He got X-ray. He cannot be hurt. You cannot harm him. See, that's the same thing. The guy, when he was writing Superman, was actually, listen, was thinking about Jesus Christ. So here we go. Long before the X-ray vision, there was an all-seeing Christ. He knows all. He sees all. There's nothing that's going to be hidden. He can reveal it. So I praise God. You know, how many here maybe have somebody in your life that's maybe causing problems? You ain't got to raise your hands, and please don't point fingers. And you say, well, I think I need to reveal that, because if I don't, guess what? God will take care of it. He's got those eyes. He'll take care of it. He sees that. If somebody's trying to harm you, he sees it, and he'll take care of it. You see, the Bible says in Hebrews 4:13, there is no creature hidden from his sight, but all things are naked and open to eyes of him to whom we must give account. Amen. God's got your back. God's watching you. That's what the guy told me yesterday. He said, I got good news and bad news. He said, I want you to scoot over here. So I scooted over. Two guys already jumped out the plane halfway up. They're regular jumpers. And it took us on up so high. Like I said, when Daniel jumped, he was just a speck. I couldn't even see him. And they said, there he goes. And all of a sudden, I saw a little bitty speck. Next thing I heard some hollering. You know, when he got closer, I could hear him hollering. Daniel was having a ball. I said, the first thing they're going to hear me say is glory. And Emmy said she heard Pawpaw go, glory! But you know what? The guy said, I'm sitting down here. I need you to sit in my lap. And so I sat in his lap, and he started hooking the stuff up to me. He says, now I need you to pick yourself up and get even closer. I wanted to ask him if we're going to have any wine and crackers or anything. And he says, get even closer. And as I pushed up against him, he said, closer. I did start to grind and go, but I did. And then he's hooking. And he's hooking everything up. And he's pulling it tight. And pulling it really, really tight. And I got, my skin bruises easy anyway. And I got some sparks, marks up here from where he just pulled everything so tight. And so he pulls everything tight. And then he said, I got good news and bad news for you. And all of a sudden, I could hear God talking to me. He said, you couldn't get away from me if you wanted to. I said, which one is that, the bad news or the good news? He said, you pick. He said, because you know what the ugly news is? I said, what? He said, you couldn't get away from me if you wanted to. He said, I got your back. And I heard the Lord speak to me. He said, son, you couldn't get away from me if you wanted to. I got you. I got you. I got your back. Don't worry about it. I got your back. And so just before the Lord told me that, that's when I said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And then they opened the door, and the rest is history. Amen. So look, not only is he the revealing Christ, he is the regal Christ. He's relentless. What have I done? Praise God. He's relentless. The Bible says his feet were like fine brass, as if it was refined in a furnace. It speaks to the fact that he is unstoppable. You cannot stop him. What he wants to do in your life, if you just chill out and let him do it. Quit trying to help him. Let him do it. But it also speaks of judgment. Listen, God's got this. His feet will carry him. Look, his feet will carry him forth to judge the earth, and to cry with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth? And the Bible tells us in Revelation 14, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth and the sea and the waters therein. Also, he is the regal Christ. His voice is like the sound of many waters. You know, can you imagine? You know, we've gone here and put ear monitors in, and all of a sudden the ear monitor was put in wrong or something happened. And all of a sudden, all you hear is whoa, 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 whoa. Can you imagine what John heard when Jesus spoke? He said, I am. I got you. I am the first and the last. Wow, that's powerful. You see, Again, his voice is like the voice of many waters. He always has, and he always will be in control. And even when he speaks, it's going to take place. Amen. The voice of the Lord is always upon the waters. The glory of God thunders. The Lord is upon many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Psalm 29 and 4. I'm almost through. Who's counting? How many is that? Five. I'm just seeing who was counting. So far, nobody, but just a couple. I'm taking names. I'm playing. Look. He is the regulating Christ. The Bible says in his hand were seven stars. Amen. He is able to hold and balance everything in his hands. For in him we live, we move, we have our being. Acts 17:28. He is before all things, and in him all things consist. Colossians 1 and 17. He is the regulator. I remember one time early on in the ministry, I remember I was at Bath, and we were at Bath Church of God. And I remember we had a pretty rough time. I can't remember exactly what was going on, but it was a pretty rough time. And I said, Lord, I don't know exactly what's going on. I need your help. And I remember I had a dream. I was praying one night in the church. I went home, and as I laid down to go to sleep, I had a dream. And then when I had the dream, I'm step out of the church, and I'm stepping out. And as I step out, I see seven stars in a circle. You'll see the seven stars in a circle. All of a sudden, I'm carried up into heaven. As I'm carried up into heaven, I hear the Lord tell me about Revelation, and it says, and it was talking to John, the same way he was talking to John, it said, I saw this archway with no doors on it, no doors whatsoever, just an archway, and it was shining with God's Shekinah glory. And then he gave me the verse where it was told, John said, don't worry about it. You're on the Isle of Patmos, but it says you're going to minister again to kings and priests. Don't you worry about this. This isn't the end. This is the new beginning. And so when I woke up, I said, wow, I mean, it just blew me away. And the next week, things started changing. And within 1 month, the church was so full of people, they were packing the road. Y'all guys might remember this, DC and Daniel. They were driving all the way down to the bridge, which is a good ways from the church, to find parking spaces on the side of the road to come in. It was amazing what was going on. But God told me, said, if you just hold on, I got this. Don't get discouraged when things look bad. I got this. Hang on. Just because it seems like you're on the Isle of Patmos, you're not. I got this. I got it under control. And I'm here to tell some of y'all today, God is a regulating God. And you're sitting there thinking, can my life get any worse? Oh, yeah. But I can guarantee you one thing, it's going to get better. It will get better. God's got this. And when it does get better, you're going to be just like that woman that has that baby. I remember after DC's mama had him, she said, there ain't going to be no more youngins. Ain't no more. That's it. And after a couple of days, she said, when are we going to have another one? See, in the pain, you don't want to think about it. Pretty soon, the pain goes away when you begin to see the fruit, the blessings of fruit. Amen? So Narcissus, now, here you go. He's the revenging Christ. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. I've only got two more after this, actually. So we're getting good. All right. Out of his mouth was a sharp two-edged sword. The sword is his holy word. He's not coming back to receive, not only to receive his own, but he's coming back to take vengeance on the enemy. He's going to show the devil just what it's going to be. And the Jews are going to come to him and flock to him. Finally, repent or else I will come quickly and I will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. Praise the Lamb of God. And I saw heavens open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in his righteousness he judges and makes war. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Well, I'm telling you, this is some awesome stuff, isn't it? Awesome stuff. This is all John was seeing. John was seeing this as he looked at him, and we got two more. Guys, y'all come on up here and start getting ready. He is a remarkable Christ. His countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. Paul saw the face of Jesus Christ and he was blinded on the road to Damascus. Can you imagine seeing God and just blinds you? He's so powerful. The light of heaven is Jesus Christ. He's brighter than any noonday sun. And then finally, he is the reassuring Christ. There you go. And now when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I'm the first and the last. I'm he who lives and was dead. And behold, I'm alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. You see, 60 years earlier, John leaned on him. when he sees him. Now when he sees him, he falls down like a dead man. The Bible says, and when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying, it's me. Don't be afraid. John 16:33, these things I have spoken to you that you might have peace. In this world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Can you imagine that sight? Wow. He's saying that same message today. Don't be afraid. He's got every church in his hands. He's got you in his hands. He's got your family. He's there. It's a powerful thought that our God loves us that much. And he says, do not be afraid. Wow. Wow. Everybody, let's stand. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I'm not going to drag this out. I'm just going to ask. If you're here this day and you don't know Almighty Jesus, and even some of the things I described of what he's going to do scares you because you know you're not ready, and you know that it can cause harm to you not to know him, today's your day. You're not here by accident. If I'm speaking to you with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're not ready for this moment, if you're not ready for Jesus to appear before you, if you're not ready, if you need Jesus as your personal Savior, with every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm not going to call you out up here, but I am going to call you out by saying, raise your hand. Would you raise that hand? I don't know Jesus as my personal Savior. I don't know him, but I want to. Not going to embarrass you. Maybe you're here and you would say, Pastor, I am definitely not where I used to be. At one time I was excited. I'd hear a message like this and I'd shout it down. And now I hear a message like this and it makes me frown. It brings tears to me. It hurts my heart because I'm not where I used to be with God. And I want to be. Again, I'm not going to call you out and bring you up here. I'm just going to say, well, every head's bowed and every eye's closed. Would you lift that hand and say, Pastor, you're talking to me. I'm not where I used to be. Bless them, Lord. Bless them all, Father. Bless them. Maybe you're here today and you didn't realize how close you could get. You didn't realize that it was closer than you ever could imagine. And you let things around you try to drive you far from this good relationship, this awesome relationship with God. And you want to know him on a better way. You want to know him in a stronger way than you ever imagined. But you just raise that hand right now. Me and God are okay, but I want to know more. There you go. I need to know more, 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 more. Yes, yes, yes. I want him to appear to me like this. I want him to show me what he can do. Right now, we're going to say a prayer together, and we're all going to say it together. And then, if you want to come up and pray, that'll be okay. Let's get ready. Say, Father, I need you to do a work in my life. I'm not where I was, but I'm not where I want to be. Lord, help me. Lift me up. Strengthen me. Help me to be excited about you again. Help me be excited about serving you again. Put back that zeal in my heart. I rededicate my heart and life to you in the name of Jesus. You're an awesome God. You're a powerful God. I'm yours and you're mine. And I thank you in the name of Jesus. Now, if you want to come up here and pray for anything else, come on up here. God's in control. God is in control. Don't forget tonight at 6:30. Come on to the Christmas party. Enjoy yourself. And enjoy celebrating Christ. Christ's Mass. The celebration of Christ. Which not only includes his birth, but also includes his death. We thank you, Lord, in his resurrection. We thank you, Lord. We celebrate Christ. Come tonight at 6:30. God is awesome. Our hearts and minds clear. Praise the Lamb of God. God is awesome all the time. Everybody stand. Brother Benny, will you dismiss us in prayer?
Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we've had to be in this your house today. And Lord, as we go forth in this day, keep in our hearts and minds what the true meaning of this season is and how you are the one that we should bless. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.